First John, that's the epistle of John, second chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is begotten of him. That's 1 John 2:18-29. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Kind Father, we are thankful that we can be here today to worship you and to open your word, and also to fellowship with these loved ones. We are mindful of those who are ill and afflicted among us. Pray that you would take them into your special care and keeping. Help us all to do that which is necessary to be in you and to continue in you and then to look forward to eternal life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in troublous times, as all of you know. We're from within and without. And as we've said before, we are first century Christians. We are having their trials and their testings. And we are trying to stay straight and to do what God wants us to do. There is a text in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, that I want to talk about this morning. And it's 1 Corinthians 11. He's talking about divisions, and that's one of the things that these words that we have up here are schisms, heresy, and sects. These have to do with divisions. But 1 Corinthians 11:18, he's talking about the Lord's Supper. Now this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. This is the word schism, or schism as some people pronounce it. And it's interesting that the word is, in the Greek, means that which is cloven or parted, a cleft, a division, a rent. We talk about certain animals having a cleft hoof. That means divided hoof. You know, horses and donkeys and camels, and some of those don't have cleft hoof, but sheep, pigs, cows, deer, goats, all these have cleft hoofs. So that word would have been used in reference to that. So he hears that there are schisms or divisions among them. And in this instance, this is not good. Because the Lord's Supper is involved, and this is a time of gathering around together at the table of the Lord. And so he said that they had practices in Corinth. They were not good. He said that when they come together, some have eaten and some haven't, and some are full and some are hungry, and they don't wait for each other, and they come, and it's just sort of a mess. And so he said this is not good. And there are these divisions. In fact, earlier in Corinthians, he talked about the division that was in the church over baptism. People are saying, well, I was baptized by Paul, and I was baptized by Peter, and I was baptized by Apollos, and so he said, this is just not good. He said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So he's talking about these bad divisions that there were in the church. And so here he says, I hear that there are these schisms or divisions, and it's not good. And the very next chapter, in the 12th chapter, in the 25th verse, he said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. This is where he is likening the church to the human body, and how that in the church people have different jobs, and they don't all have the same job. He said, what if the whole body were an eye, or the whole body were an ear? This is funny because can you picture a great big eye with legs? That's what he's saying. The body is different members, and so we have different parts. And he doesn't want to be any schism or division in the body. And in fact, in the first chapter, I referred to it, but I'll point it out to you. First chapter of 1 Corinthians, and there at the 10th verse. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions or schisms among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So these are the places where that word is used that we have given here first, is schisms. Here I hear there be divisions or schisms among you. I don't want that. He said it's bad. But there is another verse that I've used and thought of many times, and it's 1 Corinthians 11, and there at the 19th verse. There must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And here it's using the word heresies. That is actually a Greek word. And it means choice or option or preference, a chosen way or a plan. This is from Bullinger's Lexicon. And then Young, in his concordance, actually says it's choice, opinion, or sentiment. So he said there must be heresies. And why? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. I'll give you the reasons why there should be and needs to be, but I'll show you some of the other places where the word is used. And Paul, when he was giving his defense, as recorded in the 24th of Acts, he said, after the way which you call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. In other words, the Christian disciples, followers, were being called heretics. In other words, that they had turned away or had a chosen way that was different than the way they had always believed, and so therefore they condemned it. So he said, I'll read it this time, 24 Matthew, 14th verse, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." So this is showing that there is necessary. In other words, it is good. A good choice, an option, a good preference, a good chosen way, or a good plan. I've always been proud of the Greenville Church, and I talk to people wherever I go about the Greenville Church, that we have no divisions and no politics. Some churches I've been in, there were just so much politics and such bad divisions that if one part of the church would vote one way, the other just automatically vote the other way, just because they wanted to be different, and because they had this division among them. I tell about a pastor that I had early in my ministry. In a Bible class night, I chose to talk about the sacraments, baptism and communion. And we had no trouble with baptism. And I came over to communion and I said, there are different views on the communion. One of them is open communion, one is closed communion. And I appointed one member of the class to study up on open communion, and I appointed another one to do it on closed communion. I didn't know that I was opening a can of worms that they had been fighting for years about open communion and closed communion. And ever after that, anyway, they just got in an absolute fuss right in Bible class about that, and it was bad. And every year after I was there, when they voted on the preacher, I had 14 votes against me. Every year, it was the same 14 people that disagreed in Bible class, and they voted against me every year. But that was a division that you might say was permanent, and it was ongoing, and they never did get over it, as far as I knew. But it was bad. One thing about the Greenville Church was not a split. It was not a splinter. It was not done out of hatred or problems in the church. It was because some of the members of Guthrie Grove, some especially who were living in the Greenville area, got in touch with me when I was editor and publisher in Illinois and said, "Preacher Farrell, we want to start a church in Greenville." So we wrote an official letter to the Guthrie Grove Church Board, telling them that we wanted to start a church. They called, the board had a meeting and voted in favor of giving us their blessing. Then they called a meeting of the church, and the whole church voted in favor of backing a Greenville church. And when the time came to actually form the church, then they actually transferred members from Guthrie Grove Church to Greenville Church to form the nucleus for a new church. So there's no spite, there's no friction, there was nothing. It was just like they were mothering us. In fact, I was always proud of, out of Brush Creek, the last I knew, they had mothered five churches. They just said, we've got people living in Troy. That's too far, really too far from church. Let's do that. And then they've got one up another town, another in another direction, and the one at Troy. And they mothered all of them. And they still grew, and they were still big. In fact, they were the biggest church in Ohio, I think still are. But it's, in other words, it's done with care and with love and no spite. I am sad to say that there are recent splinters and splits in different churches of ours that are very bad and very harmful. So, but what I am what Paul was saying and what I'm going am saying to you is that there are necessary heresies. There are necessary choices, and they're not all bad. In other words, the reason this one was good, as he said, is that the approved may be made manifest. And I've thought about this a lot, and I thought about how that what if when the Roman Catholic Church became so powerful, what if people could not leave it? In other words, they had council after council, decision after decision, deciding that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are a Trinity, deciding that immersion is not the way to baptize. I mean, these are all pronouncements by the Roman Catholic Church, purgatory and all the other different things. Well, what if people couldn't leave it? What if they had to stay in the Roman Catholic Church? I'd say they'd all be lost. We'd all be going in the ditch. So that's why there can be good schisms, good heresies, good divisions, good choices. Because if you stayed one and some were rotten to the core and some were good, you'd all be judged as the same apple. But if you can separate so that people can choose between the good apple and the bad apple, then there is a choice. We don't think much about it, but back in the Reformation in the 16th century and even before that, it was difficult for people to act outside the organized church. In fact, it was brought out recently, and I've talked about it myself, how that the first translators of the Bible into English were burned at the stake. In other words, the people that came out of these different ideas. In fact, I love to talk about them. Wycliffe, translator of the Bible in the 1300s, Tyndale, translator of the Bible in the 1500s, they were both became martyrs. But the thing that's so wonderful to me is we believe what they believed. They were our fathers in the faith. So to me, any man like Tyndale or Wycliffe who could translate the Bible surely would know what the Bible said. And as knowing what the Bible said, they believe like what we believe. Another word that is used is the word sect. And it was used in talking about the sects of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but it was also talking about the church. Acts 24:5 talks about the sect of the Nazarenes. In fact, there was a church today called the Nazarene Church because it's called the sect of the Nazarenes. But the word sect is not all bad either. It has to do with making these decisions. And then Paul in the 22nd of Acts talked about concerning the sect, the Christian sect that he persecuted. So they're bad divisions, what I'm trying to get across to you, so that the women and children can understand it, is they're good divisions and they're bad divisions. And we are part of a good division. Protestant. In fact, I consider myself a Protestant. I protest some Protestants as well as the Roman Catholic Church. And but then there are bad divisions, and we do not want those. But as he said, going on here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said that there must be these heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. As I tried to bring out to you, if there was no division, if there was no heresy between the good and the bad, we'd all be judged together. But since there is one, now we can see who's approved and who's not. We can make that choice. We can make that decision. The word approved here is a word that means tested or tried, or as Bullinger said it, assayed, examined, or tested. Hence, generally of persons, approved and esteemed. This is wonderful. In other words, if the good apples and the bad apples are together, you don't know who is approved. But if they are separated, then we can see the difference. And that's the reason why they must be. The word itself is used in that wonderful text, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the word, same word approved there is used, that we may show that we're correct workmen for God. It's used other places, Romans 2:18, you knowest his will and you approvest. 1 Corinthians 16:3, whosoever ye shall approve. Philippians 1:10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. So there are a lot of good ways in which that word approved is used. Those that are approved or are shown to be right are made manifest. Or, as Young's Concordance says, they're apparent. It's obvious to everybody that they are the approved. 1 John 3:10, it said, in this the children of God are manifest. Acts 4:16, a noble miracle is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. And I love Ephesians 5:13, all things are made manifest by the light, or become apparent. That's one thing about the Christian religion. They're called the children of light. We're not afraid for the light to shone on our faith and our church. We're not afraid to have the light shone on our lives, because we have nothing to hide. We're walking in the light, and we are approved, and we are manifest that we are approved because of these things. In the scripture lesson, there was a manifestation in the other direction, and it was talking about the people that were of the world and were against Christ. And he said, it's manifest that they are not of us. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us. They are not of us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. I've seen situations in the present-day church that I wish that those that went out would go out. But it's best for the church, best for all of us, of those who are not of us, that they would go out from us. Then it would be manifest that they are not of us. So, back to Corinthians. There must be heresies. There must be divisions. There must be sects. There must be schisms. There are bad ones, and they should go. But there are good ones in which we choose to be in that band that serves God, separated from others, after the way that some call heresy. We worship the God of our fathers. In fact, I used that word. I was talking about the history of the Church of God. And I said that we were called heretics all the way back in the Middle Ages and in the Reformation. But thank God, we are heretics. that we're separated from it and could be true to God and be in His family and be approved of Him. There must be heresies or divisions among us, good ones, that they which are approved may be made manifest. So we are in the age in which these divisions have to be in order to show who is right. I am sorry to say, in my ministry of 70 years, that some people have gone back. They've come out of what Paul called the weak and beggarly elements, and for a while basked in the sunlight of His love and of His light, of His truth, and yet have gone back. And separated from us because they were not really of us. Let us go on as heretics in the eyes of many, but approved of God. May He help us. Thank you for your time.